8 p.m. This is Radio Ghana.
And live from our studios here in Accra and linking up with all our regional FM stations, we say welcome to Behind the News, our news and current affairs program which examines issues from the perspectives of newsmakers and experts. My name is Kingsley Obinchere. For tonight, Parliament heats up over the proposed acquisition of new aircrafts. Are we on an old road? Gas shortage and users' headache, has it become a perpetual problem? And also, integrating herbal preparations into the mainstream prescriptions and the problem of certification. As Behind the News on Radio Ghana, and as usual, we encourage you to be very active listeners. You can send in your test comments and other concerns on 026-441-8767. 026-441-8767. And we want to move on to our first story. Parliament was today the scene of another heated verbal encounter between the majority and minority over the purchase of 5 aircraft for the country's military and the presidency. While the majority strongly defended the purchase of the aircraft following a recommendation by the military, the minority kicked against the move, questioning the honesty of the majority in the deal when some few years ago they opposed the purchase of 2 aircraft under former President Kufuor. The fleet include an Embraer E190 jet with a hangar, costing over $106 million, 2 BA-42 Guardian surveillance costing 11 million euros, and another 2 CT-95 aircraft costing 60 million euros. The majority think they have a point in the purchase of the aircraft, but the minority says they don't. What do they say apart from these issues? We have joining us on the line a representative of the minority and the MP for Etchimamponwa, Isaac Kwame Essiama, to tell us why they think this is not justified. You are welcome to the show tonight.
Thank you.
Can you tell us precisely why you are against the purchase?
First of all, I would like to greet your listeners. I know you are next to it, so throughout the country, we are being listened to. For us in the minority, we are not against equipping the armed forces. Obviously, I mean, it's a national duty for us to make sure that our armed forces are well equipped so that they could defend the country at any point in time. They will protect, defend our oil and gas industry. So we are, in principle, in support of equipping the armed forces. And nobody from the minority is against it. I mean, that is the principle. But we have raised issues, legitimate issues, in regards to the cost of these items that they are going to purchase, and also the hypocrisy of the NDC. We could all recall that 2008, 19th March, or for example, during the previous regime, this issue came up. We are going to purchase 2 aircrafts to equip the armed forces. And we all witnessed the kind of debate that happened on the floor of the House. The fact that the then minority leader, Honorable Abamba, been kicked against it, indeed said that there are more priority areas, health, water, education, that we could channel those resources to. So we ask ourselves, what has changed so far from 2008-2011? What has changed? Because it is our poverty. It's worse off today. I mean, education sector is in crisis, health sector is in crisis, we don't have water, we don't have all these things. So that we ask them, what has changed? And why are you bringing this? So this time around, not even 2, as happened in 2008. This time around, as many as 8 aircraft. I'm on air.
Yeah, you are still on air.
As many as 8. And 8, our legitimate issue is about even the inflated prices associated with them. Let's look at one there. The one that you just mentioned, that is the Embraer 190, for example. Some of us went to the net when the agreement came. Went to the net, and let me be honest with you. The price that has been quoted, understand, at the website of the Embraer 190, Embraer company, for example, that is for financial year 2011. So this is 2011. The Embraer 190 is costing currently $32 million. But what has been quoted by the government, understand, is $88 million. Look at the jump. So we ask it, what is it? What explains this difference, this huge difference? That is our legitimate concern. And they could not give us any better, reasonable answer. All that they were saying is about the configuration. But look at the configuration, for example. Configuration is about maybe the number of seats you want, other things you want incorporated in the plane. So are they telling us that alone would have accounted for the difference of about $66 million? It is highly unthinkable. So we ask this legitimate concern that let us be more prudent with the way we manage our resources. That's all that we have been asking for.
So, Mr. Kwame Nkrumah, you are saying that you are not against the purchase?
No, at all. We've all said that. All that we are saying that is a hypocrisy we want to expose them. That what has changed so far between 2008 and 2011.
Please hold on for a moment. I'll come back to you on the same issue. But you've raised the issue of cost, and that is quite a problem for you. We have on the line now David Esumi, MP for Shai Osuduku, and a member of the majority side. Thank you so much for your time this evening.
Thank you very much.
You've heard your colleague on the other side. They are not against it. That is what it's made us to understand. But they have a problem with the cost being quoted. $32 million as per what is on the internet as they checked, and $88 million being brought to Parliament.
Yeah, the issue of the quotation they pulled from the net was actually tabled. And if you take the document and you read, you see a caveat that has been placed on the quotation. I mean, it states that in addition to whatever quotation that will be, I mean, depending on the finishing or that you want to add to the aircraft, it is after that that you can get the final price. And so we are talking of the additions that has been added onto the aircraft. And so that is where the differences lie. You know, if you go in for the aircraft without any finishing, then you can have the price that he's talking about. But you cannot just go in for that, and take without adding other things to it. And it was very clearly in the document that you need to, the quotation that was added excludes the finishing. And so that is where the differences lie. And so I don't think there was anything so different from what that we were saying.
Yeah. Mr. Sumin, in this case, are we to understand that it is just an empty shell being sold and you now have to complete it?
I mean, the document that they put shows that the figure that was quoted is like an empty shell. And so they added a caveat that depending on how you want to get the finishing made, that is where you can arrive at a figure. And so the experts were assembled, as said by the Minister for Defense, and they went in and decided on how they want the final product to look like. It is the consideration of all these that give out the figure that they are disputing.
Yeah, so you don't have a problem at all with how it raised it from 32 to 88?
I will be the first person from the majority to criticize any arrangement that will be against the interest of the Ghanaian public. And so, having looked at what has been done critically, and when the whole TV went to the committee, the Select Committee of Finance and Defense, and these are committees that had members from various sides, both the NTP and the NDC, they went and scrutinized the agreement and came out recommending that this agreement must be approved as early as possible because the aircraft are urgently needed. That was the statement they came out with. And so for the members of the Finance Committee, which includes both the MPP and NDC, to come out with this recommendation, in fact, there wasn't any dissenting view as far as the committee's report was concerned. It was unanimously adopted that the agreement should be approved by both sides of the House. So how come that on the floor, my colleague, the chairman, and co-dealing this issue, when they had experienced people on the Committee of Finance, we had people like Honorable Atenea Kutel Sey, Honorable Papa Usakua, all the gurus that you can talk of were all on the committee.
Yes.
So how do you come up with this figure and then we have what Zema is talking about? Then you realize that he's just playing to the diary.
Mr. Sumin, he's raising some key concerns that were raised earlier when this nation tried to purchase some aircraft some time ago. That is the challenges of the nation. Water, almost everything you can speak of. In that case, do you think both sides are all playing politics when it gets to such issues?
Well, I think that we need to actually, you know, change our political strategies in this country. Because at any time it went, people will want to play down on city issues, whether they are valid or not, and then people will want to talk about it. I mean, in 2008, when we were heading towards election, that aircraft issue came about. People thought that we were just, you know, running into place to come out of that city. Now, we are not even in an election year. I mean, we have a year to go. And so, at this time that this thing is coming, you will not say that, you know, some kind of political expediency is being played into
it. But previously, it was an election issue.
Yes, because that time it was during election, so politicians would want to play down on anything that comes out.
So you agree the NDC was playing politics then?
Actually, at that time, the condition that we were facing was so critical. I mean, I can assure you, as of now, things have changed. I mean, you can see the issue of inflation, you can see the issue of a reserve that has gone up. I mean, the economy as at now, even though it's yet to trickle down into the pocket of the people so much, we can say that it's better than the time that they were going in for this facility.
Yeah. Just hold on quickly. I'll go back to Mr. Isaac Siama on the issue. Mr. Siama, you've heard your colleague on the other side of the house talking about the fact that there is some improvement, and you've also acknowledged the fact that there is the need. So where do we strike a balance?
Well, first of all, if there's an improvement, Ghanaians are the best judges. They are listening to him. So if he knows that his constituents are okay, if he knows that there's no water problem in this country today, the energy sector is not in crisis, light off left and right. So if he's comfortable, fine, maybe he's okay. But Ghanaians are listening, they will judge him. But please, quickly, it is not true that minority members on the committee were satisfied with this thing. In fact, the minority folks on defense who spoke, Honorable Dogui Ebuafo, raised legitimate concerns. And indeed, our leader, minority leader, shared the same concern. So what are you talking about? The leader of the minority who spoke last expressed all these concerns about the pricing, the inflated pricing. So please, you shouldn't get the impression that some people on our side were satisfied. No. The fact of the matter is that we live in a democracy. We believe that rule of law must prevail. At the end of the majority will have their way. So that is why when it came to the country, we voted and they had their way. So it's not that as if some of our people were okay with the deal. The deal as we speak is so smelly and that something seriously must be done about it. We are saying that indeed they should explain and what accounts for the difference of $66 million, understand, between $32 million to $88 million, that huge jump, what accounts for it? So you are talking about what's finishing? Social Democratic Government, you are finishing playing to cost us from $32 million, and the finishing alone is cost about $66 million. Hey, is that what you call Social Democratic Government?
So by your estimation, Mr. Siama, by your estimation, how much should it be finally, assuming perhaps?
At least the configuration should not be more than 10% of the total cost. So ask the experts in the aviation industry that if you are doing the configuration, that is adding more seats and other things to make the plane look like the way you want it, it should not be more than 10% of the total cost. So 10% of $32 million should not be more than $45 million. That's what we are saying.
Have you consulted with your members on the select committee that worked on this before it came to the floor?
Oh, yes. I was in constant touch with the ranking member and finance and, of course, defense. I was in touch with all of them, and I've been in touch with all of them. So please.
What did they say?
This is the concern of the minority. What I expressed is the concern of the minority, which was finally captured by the leader. So please, you listen to the debate that went on. The leader set up everything about our concerns. So if nothing at all, our leader spoke on the issue. So please, and for me, I spoke as a member of parliament who has been sent there to scrutinize public expenditure to make sure that there is value for money so that Ghana will benefit. That's what I'm in parliament for. I'm in parliament there just to listen to what everybody is saying. I'm there to speak my mind to make sure that speaks for the other people, speak for Ghanaians. That's what I'm there to do. So if I have concerns and I'm raising those concerns are legitimate, no matter what, government has to listen to me. And in this case, I want the president himself, if indeed he is the current president, that's hypocrisy. If indeed he is the father for all, he should listen to us once and for all, because we are saying that indeed the price has been inflated, and that doesn't reflect the price on the international market. We've gone to the net, we give them copies of this. What we are saying that from $32 million to $88 million is too much, understand?
Okay.
Indeed, something fishy is happening that we must check.
Okay. Mr. Isaac Kwame Sam, I want to thank you very much for joining on this issue. But Mr. David Esumen, we still have you on the line. That is the concern being expressed. Are you going to do something about it, perhaps, to try to beat it down to a level where you all share in it?
Thank you very much. However, the dissenting view he talked about was not expressed in the report. When the report was presented on the floor and was seconded by W. Obuafu, I mean, there was no dissenting view on the committee's report. And so, I mean, what are you talking about? If the people on his side express any dissatisfaction about this deal, some of us would take a second look at it. But we saw that there was consensus. If when the FTS issue came out, and we saw dissenting view, and so this is different from that line. And so for them to agree, only to come to the floor, to come and raise this issue that he's talking about, then you realize that there is serious mischief in his presentation. Chief, I'm saying that, I mean, like you said, we are social democrats. We always want to have value for money. I mean, today we thank God that people who claim to be property-owning democrats are now, you know, seeking the tune of social democrats. But I'm saying that because there seems to be some improvement in the system, we think that the issue of the military should be taken care of as a matter of fact. I mean, we are now coming out as a major oil country, and we want to protect our oil interests, and we need all these facilities to protect. So this is the time that we need this facility, as was expressed by Honorable Member for Ashama, that this is the time for us to go in for these facilities. And I'm saying that we did this in the best interest of this country. If there's any issue that we need to look at, and like you are saying, the document that was pulled from the net, I mean, that is just a sheer issue that must be given a second thought. And so we are relying on the expertise of the military high command for having done the due diligence and recommending that this is, you know, in the best interest of our nation, and that is why we're winning. If there's any problem, then I think that the military high command must answer. But I believe that what you have told us is the right issue, thereby passing this deal.
So you believe you won't have any problem explaining it to your constituents?
Definitely, we need to explain it to them. I don't think there should be any problem, because we need to protect our oil interests. The military need this equipment to perform their peacekeeping issues and the like. And so this is an issue that we can easily explain to our constituents.
I want to thank you very much for joining in this discussion tonight on Behind the News. Thanks so much. David Esumen is MP for Chai Osudoku and a member of the majority in Parliament on that issue. We move on. Accra and parts of the country are experiencing perennial shortage of gas for reasons users are yet to come to grips with. For some time now, the supply of gas to the depots has been on and off. When you talk to the government, people or experts, they feel there is enough gas to last the year, but the situation on the ground probably negates these assertions. Our correspondents who visited some gas filling stations say long queues and exchanges have been the order of the day where gas is available to sell to the public. At other stations, the no gas signpost greets every curious inquirer. Tonight on Behind the News, the chief executive of the National Petroleum Authority, NPA, Alex Mould, talks about the real causes of gas shortage in the country. He's now on the line with us. We appreciate your time, sir.
Yes, good evening.
Do we really have enough gas in the system such that everybody who needs gas can get?
Well, that's quite a tough question to answer, because there is gas at Temori Refinery. We're delivering about 900 to 1,000 metric tons a day. You know, in the 1980s, we were delivering about 20 to 25 or 40 tons a day. Now we're delivering about 1,000 metric tons a day. And this demand has been driven mainly by vehicles who have converted from petrol to gas. Actually, they can still use the petrol, but they've converted to gas because gas is a heavily subsidized product, petroleum product. And the demand now far outstrips the way we can supply that into the system. So the question, the answer to your question is yes, we have gas, but we cannot deliver it into the system as fast as the demand is pooling, because the systems we have in place cannot cope with the current demand, which is mainly driven by vehicles who were not, and I must emphasize this, who were not in the program for supply of gas.
Mr. Mould, previously we've had similar experiences, but it's odd, and everybody was quite happy that things were okay. What happened during those interregnums where we can say everything was okay? Was distribution just fine, and does that mean we've reduced the number of distributors along the way?
No, no, no. Actually, the number of distributors has increased. We have over 20 LPG, which is liquid petroleum gas, marketing companies. We have more stations that are delivering gas into the in the country, in various parts of the country. But the fact of the matter remains that, you know, there has been no real investment in LPG from, you know, the late 90s to date. The only infrastructure we have built is we've built additional tanks, and that is not the solution. You see, we have Tamari Refinery, which produces about 1,000 metric tons every week, but we consume 1,000 metric tons a day. That means that we have to import about 5,000 metric tons every week into the country. Now, we have a logistics problem because this was never supposed to be the case, that we'd be importing 5,000 metric tons into the country every week. Now, when Tamari Refinery doesn't work, then the 1,000 metric tons that comes from the refinery does no longer come into the supply system to meet the demand. And the reason why we have challenges is that the import is mainly through the Tema jetty. So we have one jetty in the country that can receive LPG. We also have one pipeline which pumps about 60 to 70 metric tons an hour from the jetty to the Tema refinery through a pipeline which is about 5 kilometers. We also have one storage depot, which is Tema refinery. And that depot can only take about 7,000 metric tons maximum. We also have only one gantry at the Tema refinery, which can load about 35 to 50 trucks a day maximum. So with these constraints, an average truck takes about 20 tons. So the maximum really Tema refinery can do on a stream day, which is about 12 hours, is about 1,000 tons a day. Now, the demand currently is far outstripping this because a lot of taxis, a lot of commercial vehicles have converted their from using petrol to LPG, and they use a tank of LPG every day or every 2 days, whereas you and I use a tank of gas for our domestic use at home for about 1 month. So you see, the demand has been really being driven by vehicle use of LPG, which when the policy was set in the 80s to encourage the use of LPG, mainly to curb the deforestation which was occurring, especially in the three northern regions and in the Brahafo and Ashanti region, to curb the Sahara and the Sahel from descending through our forests to the coast of Ghana. This was not the prime objective of supplying LPG to vehicles. There were a few vehicles that were coming to the country already fitted with LPG devices to use LPG. But then there was a huge use of or conversion of vehicles in the late 90s and early 2000s. And this was brought about because of the huge subsidy that the government has gives for LPG.
Okay.
That is the primary problem we have now.
Mr. Moe, you've raised a particular issue that we normally get to when we discuss gas shortages. That is the use by especially commercial drivers of the activities. Having studied the market for some time, we can see these people have become part of the market. Shouldn't we then be devising ways of catering for them so that at any point in time, everybody is satisfied? Of course, you've raised that environmental issue. It should be friendly to all too.
Hello?
Hello. Yes, Mr. Mould.
Yes.
I'm saying that once they've joined the market and have become an important segment, shouldn't we be thinking of investments that will cater adequately for them and not leave out domestic users too?
Well, that brings a very interesting discussion, because who is going to invest in it? Is it government or is it the private sector? As you know, there has been a policy of deregulation in the petroleum sector, and since the late 90s and early 2000s, we have encouraged the private sector to come into the petroleum downstream sector to invest. And this has taken place where we've licensed bulk distribution companies who are supposed to build their storage tanks and gantries, and we've seen investments in Takrady, investments in Tema, and there are more investments going on to increase the storage capacity and also the distribution capacity of petroleum products in Ghana. Now, LPG is a particular problem because of the huge subsidy. That means that when somebody brings in LPG into the country, the consumer pays for part of the LPG, and the government reimburses the consumer after a number of months. It is not very attractive when the investor brings in LPG and has to wait for the government to pay them the subsidy. So we are seeing that people are not even trying to bring LPG into the country.
Yeah.
How much more investing in infrastructure?
Yes.
Now, the problem with investing in infrastructure, really, is that if the policy of subsidy is removed, let's say one day the government decides that there's no longer going to be a subsidy of LPG, then the demand is going to fall drastically, because the consumers, the commercial vehicles who use LPG, will stop buying LPG, because LPG is not the most efficient and the cheapest form of fuel if there is no subsidy. So what happens then is that somebody would have invested in a gantry and a tank farm, looking at the explosion of the demand based on the subsidy, and one day a subsidy is removed and nobody is going to, and then he'll be left holding the bag. No bank is going to invest in it unless the policy is very clear that the government will continue this policy for a number of years for the person to recoup his investment.
Are you thinking about partnership? Mr. Mould,
yes.
Are you thinking about partnership of some sort? Because as we see it, it won't reduce. People will continue to convert because they've seen it to be much cheaper and it
is
friendlier to
the
environment.
The solution is to remove the subsidy.
And then we defeat our objective of catering for the environment. Is that not it?
Now, if you look at the objective of catering for the environment, the real question is, has that objective been met? If you look at the use of LPG in the three northern regions, it accounts for less than 3% of the total use of LPG in the country. So the real question is, has the objective been met? I think the policy needs to be reviewed, and the execution of the policy needs to be carried out more effectively. If you want to subsidize LPG to the rural folk, make sure that they have stoves. So we should be looking at a total look at the whole policy of subsidized fuel. In the meantime, consumers, especially commercial vehicles, are going to continue converting to use LPG, and the demand is going to go higher. One of the constraints we have is because we only have one jetty, it takes about 4 days to pump fuel, the LPG, from the tanker all the way to Tor, 4 days. And then the tanker has to go back and go and reload in Bouake, which is in Equatorial Guinea, which is the main source of LPG in West Africa. Now, if anything happens to the vessel on its way there, or when it gets there, there's a queue and it cannot receive the fuel immediately and return to Ghana, we will have a shortage in Ghana, because we need that vessel to be back in Ghana within 3 days. Otherwise, the amount of gas we would have in the tanks would diminish. And that is why we have, from time to time, sporadic shortages of LPG, because anything can happen to the supply vessel. Anything, and if the supply vessel arrives here and there is another vessel at the port, because there could be a vessel that is bringing lube oil to Tamalubes, there could be an export from Tamar refinery, or there could be a vessel bringing gas oil or gasoline to another storage place, either in Tema, in the Sahara Depot or at Tema Depot. So there are a lot of constraints there which could cause shortages.
Mr. Moon,
things we can do is we can let the vehicle owners pay the right price of LPG. This would drop the demand immediately. Now,
I was just asking.
Make sure that the domestic users have the subsidy.
Uh-huh.
But now the subsidy is going to is not being channeled to the right person. The subsidy is going to an unintended consumer who is the commercial vehicles. So we have made a few proposals, and we are discussing with them how we can execute it. If vehicles are supposed to pay the right price of LPG, how do we carry that out?
Okay.
How do we identify stations that would only supply the vehicles, and the price of the LPG at those stations would be the full cost recovery price of LPG, whereas domestic users, that is the cylinders that are used for domestic, will then be priced at a different price.
Does that mean in the interim we'll continue to face a murky situation?
Well, in the interim, yes. This will continue if anything happens to the vessel going to load and bring it back, because the demand is about 5,000 metric tons a week, and we have Tamar refinery that is only producing 1,000 metric tons when it's working. And by the way, Tamar refinery is not working at the moment. So we are importing all the fuel, all the LPG in this country.
Mr. Alex Mould, we want to thank you very much for explaining it like this. So we'll try to get back to you if need be, even still in the course of this program. Mr. Alex Mould.
I'll be able to answer all questions that you have.
Okay, okay sir. Thank you very much. Alex Mould is the Chief Executive of the National Petroleum Authority. It's behind the news on Radio Ghana. Some quick tests before we move on. I'm disappointed in my own NDC government for the misplaced priority that is coming from David UDS. Indeed, the MPP should know that the government is buying the jets for Ghana Armed Forces to serve Ghana and not for NDC. Ewa Dude from Tamale sent that one. And the purchase of the luxurious jets is completely unacceptable. Why purchase jets at a time people are dying of cholera? Why purchase these jets at a time people can't make ends meet? Is this a government that claims to be social democrats? Ilyasu is posing that question. Behind the news, we are taking a quick break. We'll be back with more. It's Behind the News, coming to you live from Accra, but linking up with all our regional FM stations. If you are in Kofodia, you are getting us live on Sunrise and at Tema Ubunu 95.6 FM. Twin City Radio is hooking up in Takoradi. We have some of your tests before we move on to the next story. Baba Musa is saying, since the aircraft are to be used by the military to protect our oil and for peacekeeping, then it is good. Ho, MPP. Ghana is now a developing country. How does MPP understand the word moving forward? Shame to MPP Mapuru in Janton. I hope I got your name right. And MPP MPs should give us a break. It was opposed at their time because the economy was too bad, and now it's in good position to purchase whatever we want. Sub Chief Yendi sent in that one. You can also send in yours, 0264418767. And to our next story. Before the introduction of orthodox medicine, our great-grandparents were using herbal preparations. Today, herbal medicine continues to play a very important role in the country's health delivery system. Some critics, however, have certain reservations about the herbal preparations and their pharmaceutical content, as well as how the herbal drugs are being sold to the public. There are some herbalists who claim their products can cure hundreds of ailments without recourse to any scientific proof. Much as there are quack practitioners of traditional medicine, we have others doing a good job. The government has created a unit at the Ministry of Health to promote traditional medicine. But Is the state giving traditional medicine the needed impetus as expected? What about the measures put in place to ensure scientific preparations of the herbal drugs? Behind the News discusses this and other issues with the players in the industry. And first to join us is the head of communications at Food and Drugs Board, James Latte. Thank you so much for your time this evening.
Thank you.
There's been so much talk about traditional preparations, and the FDD has from time to time issued statements on it. What is your assessment of how we've progressed so far in the area?
Thank you. Thank you so much. And let me say good evening to all your listeners. Kingsley, you know, like you rightly said, traditional medicine plays an important role in this country, not only in Ghana, but I think all over the world. And FDB, that is Food and Drugs Board, recognizes this fact. Now, when you come to Food and Drugs Board, recently we have put in place a particular department that's called the Herbal Medicine Department to handle herbal medicines. And what they do is that, apart from looking at the restriction aspect of herbal medicines, they look at trainings that will help upgrade or bring up the herbal medicine in this country. They also assist that is in advising herbal medicine practitioners up to the right things to do. Now, the problem that we have noticed in this country is that, you see, when you begin to act as a regulatory institution in ensuring that the right things are done, unfortunately, people give different meanings into it, and that is creating a very big problem. We've had cases in this country where people have offered for sale herbal medicines that when tested at a lab was found to contain things like MMB, that is sulfatazole, contains streptomycin, gentamicin, and having no herbal ingredient in it, but it was being offered for sale as herbal medicine. We have had cases where people produce herbal medicines clandestinely, that is, they hide and they do it, and they forge Food and Drug Board registration number on it. We have had so many cases. And we think that, like you introduced, there are very good herbal medicine practitioners in this country. And if you don't take care, the attitudes of these quack ones is going to create a whole lot of problems for the genuine ones. And that's what appears to be happening now. So FDB's aim to beef up our activities when it comes to the herbal medicine to ensure that the quack ones are taken out of the system. We read the Food and Drugs Law. It states clearly that you don't have the right to import, to manufacture, to export, to distribute, or to offer for sale any herbal medicine if it has not been registered with the Food and Drugs Board. And when we are registering herbal medicines or any other products that we relate, what we do is that we take these products to our laboratory where it is checked. That is when you submit it for registration. Look at the labeling that you have put on it, because there are sometimes that, like you introduce, somebody will say that, oh, this herbal medicine does this, it does that, it does so many things that cannot be substantiated. Aside these issues, we've also had problems when it comes to advertisements. That sometimes some of the claims that are being made are against the law, because Section 14 and 15 of the Food and Drugs Law says clearly that there are some diseases that even if your medicine has the cure for it, you cannot advertise. Gonorrhea, AIDS, and all these things, and we keep hearing them on air. So this is a problem that we are having with the herbal medicine. And we are doing all our best to ensure that we give them the necessary training to bring them up to a level that when people are taking herbal medicines, they're not going to have any problem. Aside all that I've said, there's one very important thing that we do when we are going to register products in this country, including herbal medicine, and that is the production facility. We go there, we look at it to be sure that where the products are being manufactured, when people take the product, they're not going to have a problem. But honestly speaking, some of the herbal practitioners and other producers, when you get to their production facilities, in fact, what you see there is very bad and it creates a lot of problems. And when we take action as an institution to close down some of these facilities, to give recommendations and other things, you realize that people misinterpret it and think that food and transport is out to destroy herbal medicine. But like I said, FDP has not got that intention. And what we want to do is that we want to help this industry to come up that even they can export their products. Today there was a program on a mother station, I mean, a sister station in this country, I don't want to mention the name, that is in Accra here, where there was this argument about herbal medicine. And somebody sent a text message. That is Capital O2. Initially, we had a couple of problems with Capital O2. We gave him recommendation, advised him. In the beginning, he didn't understand. But when he started taking this advice, he sent a text message to this program today that from advices that he took from FDB, now his product is being accepted outside and is even gained an international award through advice that he took from FDB.
Okay.
And I'm thinking that if every herbal medicine practitioner will exercise patience and just understand the work that we are doing, I'm sure that we'll go very far in this country.
You've mentioned these ones, and some of them we've even heard previously. What are you doing to advertise those who have come to you and you've certified them, you've gone through the necessary processes with them so that people will know these are the certified ones, so that they start shunning those that might not have had certification?
You see, what we do is that when your product is approved for registration, that is, we give approval for that, it's registered. On the label, you are supposed to indicate the food and transport patient number on it. And that gives indication that your product is registered. Now, obviously, if FDB begins to make, let me put it this way, make advertisements, I don't know whether that's what you mean. That is, make
not just to advertise, but you tell people, these companies have come to us, we have certified these and these and these, so you are just fine dealing with them with these accepted ones. Is that possible?
Yes, it is. When you go to our website, all the products that we have registered, including herbal medicines, we have placed it on the website.
James, you agree not every Ghanaian will go to a website, especially those who patronize some of these things.
I agree.
Yeah.
That is why what we do as an institution is that when we find out that there's any herbal medicine that we have not registered, or it is not wholesome, as in its safety and things, we issue out a press statement to alert the public that these ones that are on the market are products that we have not given approval to, and therefore we are advising the general public not to patronize it. And that alone tells you that the other ones that we've not complained about, well, it could be that we've not seen anyone that is not bad, so we are not able to talk about it. But the point is that the ones that we have problems with, that we notice on the market through our post-market surveillance activities, we issue press statements to alert the public not to patronize them. But like you said, we have sat down recently and considered trying to put in the papers the ones that we have registered. So I agree with you. I think we'll do something about that.
You've mentioned it. We have the Mampon Center for Traditional Medicine. How do you collaborate with them for them to also tell you that perhaps these are people who have come to us and you can also take a quick look at them to help the populace?
Yes. You see, we have a very good collaboration with Mampon. There is no herbal medicine that will register in this country if you have not taken your product to Mampon for them to certify. That is to test and give you a certificate that they've tested it and it is okay. So in our requirements, you first take your product to Mampon, they will do the test for you and they will give you a certificate, let me put it out, not a certificate necessary, but a report that indicates that they have tested the product and the product is safe. That is, its safety is okay, it's not going to kill anybody. Looking at it a short term, when people take it. And this is something that we do as a requirement. So Mampon always gives us information. If, for instance, somebody brings an analysis certificate to us and we realize that it looks fishy, we can sometimes call Mampon and ask Mampon that we received this thing. Were you the institution that tested it? They confirmed. I mean, we have a great collaboration with them when it comes to this particular area. But, Kinsey, before you
yeah.
ask the next question,
uh-huh.
you see, one problem that we have noticed is that there are times that when practitioners go to Mampong and their products are tested, and Mampong gives them the result that it is okay, they think that because they have been given the results from Mampong, it means that their product is registered. But the point is this, Mampong has not got the right to give you a market authorization. That is to market your product in Ghana. The law says that until you before you import, manufacture, offer for sale any herbal medicine, Food and Drugs Board must register and give the approval. So Mampong can look at it and it is good, they give it to us. That is nowhere we end it. We take it to our lab and do one or two other analyses to confirm one or two things. Aside that, like I said earlier, we look at the labeling aspect of it. We look at this microbial load in the product. There are so many other things that we check at our lab and our officers to check.
Okay.
So it is when all these things are done, including the results from Mampong, then we say that, oh, your product is okay. You can bring it onto the market. And you know, when it comes to herbal medicine, we have something called stability study. We've noticed that their product cannot last so much on the shelves. So they are given only 1 year registration. So when you bring it after every year, you are supposed to come and renew it. And when you come to renew the registration, it is taken back to the lab for it to be tested.
Yeah. James, just hold it. We have one practitioner to tell us exactly how they have been handling such issues.
Okay.
We'll get back to you. Just hold it on the line. Kodwe Edufo is a member of the Federation of Associations of Traditional Medicine Practitioners, and he's on the line with us. Thank you so much, Mr. Edufo, for your time this evening.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard from the FDB and some general concerns about the safety of Ghanaians who patronize the services of some of your colleagues. What do you say about quality assurance?
Quality assurance?
Yes. With herbal preparations.
Please, can you explain further? Because I don't get exactly what
Yes. Normally people are concerned that are they fine to take whatever preparations you put on the market. How do you assure them that this is good? Perhaps we have certification here and there.
Yes. We agree 100% with the Food and Drugs Board that all preparations which are on the market, that is sold commercially, must be registered with them. It's only those at the clinics which we are pleading with them that we cannot register all because some are made extemporaneously. So quality assurance is something which we also go for. So every preparation that is sold on the market, on a large scale, that is, say, supplying drugstores, et cetera, must be registered with the Food and Drugs Board.
But we have some people who say they are also preparing herbal medicines but do not have it, and they also advertise. Do you have all in your fold, or some are not belonging to the association?
We cannot be sure that all those people belong to GAFTRAM. You know, there are quacks everywhere, not only in herbal medicine.
Yeah.
So we cannot be sure they all belong to GAFTRAM.
Yeah. But do you agree with the approach taken to ensure that at least for those of you doing the right thing, you are supported very well? Is it all good for you?
Yes. There are some things, rather the Food and Drugs Law prohibits us from advertising that we can cure some diseases. Yes. It's a law, so we must abide by it. And so we do not agree with people or those who claim to be our members who advertise that they can cure those diseases. No, we don't.
Yeah. So you believe that one preparation for a particular ailment, that is what you see?
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that where the law prohibits us from advertising that we can cure some diseases, we must abide by. But then it is a fact that one product can cure more than one disease.
You believe it is possible?
Yes, and the scientists agree with us.
Good. We find some of your members selling their preparations in vehicles. Sometimes now you have your own vehicles that will move around and all. Have you been told that some of these things may not be right?
It depends. You see, we are trying to abide by the Food and Drugs Law, and the Traditional Medicine Practice Council also is supposed to register some of these vehicles.
So
we have to go according to the law.
Uh-huh. So you believe that for your membership, you want to go according to the law and you are fine with the Food and Drugs Board?
We are fine with them, except where the clinical preparations must all be registered. Let me tell you one fact. There is no one person in Ghana who can register all his preparations in his clinic. It's impossible, absolutely. Because, as I said, some are made extemporaneously. The person might come before you, put together some preparations and give it to that person, the client or patient, whatever the case may be. So it's not possible to register all clinical preparations. But we agree that all those which are sold on commercial basis, sold, but not in the clinic, must be registered.
We want to thank you very much, Mr. Dufu, for your time. Kojo Edufu is a member of the Federation of Associations of Traditional Medicine Practitioners. But James, getting back to you, you've heard it. Some will still sell on moving vehicles. In that case, what do you do?
Yes, I don't know whether you can permit me to first address the issue of the clinics.
Yes, a quick one.
Okay. You know, recently we had a problem with one particular herbal medicine clinic.
Yes.
In Kasua, that is a Menchia issue. Now, this is someone who claims to be producing for just, how will I put it, patients that come to her. So prepare with it. But if you look at the quantity of products that were seized at the place where they were labeled, you wonder whether you can call this something that is not commercially prepared. That is the first thing. Secondly, when it was taken to the lab, there were so many problems with it that if this is being given to patients, there could be a whole lot of problems. So what we are saying is that, you see, we cannot sit down. Right now, if somebody goes to a clinic, a herbal clinic, and there's a problem, the first point of call will be Food and Drugs Board. That, have you checked this product? So we think that we need to check all this, and we've explained to them. If, for instance, somebody comes to you, and then you take one herb, two herbs, and you mix something and give to the person drink, we can't say that somebody registered that one. We can't say that. But once you package it, label it, give it out, no, we can't sit down and say that we'll allow you to contribute. That was going to create a big problem in this country.
Can they sell on moving vehicles?
Hello?
Can they sell on moving vehicles?
Yes, coming to the area of moving vehicles. Look, the law does not permit it. Medicines are supposed to be sold at approved premises.
Okay.
So the law doesn't permit that.
We want to thank you very much, James Latte, for your part on this particular issue. It's with the Food and Drugs Board. But we've not finished yet. We now have on the line Dr. Alex Dudu, President of the Pharmaceutical Society of Ghana, and he talks about pharmacovigilance. Thank you so much, Dr. Dudu, for your time.
Thank you.
We are talking about herbal preparations. Of course, we've seen that there are very good ones. But you talk about pharmacovigilance. And in relation to herbal preparations, what should we know as consumers?
Well, I think the main thing the consumers should know is that, one, there is a place for herbal preparations in treatment and management of disease conditions. Indeed, when you look across the world, the use of herbal medicines is on the increase rather than on the decrease. Countries like Germany will even have them being put on prescriptions. Having said that, you can only have the products on the market if the national authorities, in this case in Ghana, the Food and Drugs Board, has evaluated the products and has registered it and considered them safe for human use. So, much as herbal remedies are excellent and are to be encouraged, we are talking about properly licensed herbal medicines. The only exclusion is when there is a practitioner who just prepares what we call extemporaneous preparation, like your mother goes to the bush, takes some herbs, does something for you. That is allowed. That is a practice issue. But when this product is being commercialized, it must be duly registered before it is offered for sale.
what should the person buying know? Sometimes they say the responsibility belongs to him or her.
Currently, any product is being offered on the commercial scale, so it's being packaged, advertised. What the consumer should look out for is the Food and Drugs Board registration number. In the absence of that, there is no guarantee that this product has been evaluated by national authorities, and so there is no guarantee that this product should be used.
Yeah. Have we appropriate? Yes.
Having said that, I mean, I would come in here. I'm not aware of all the issues. I've been out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
I've just heard stories about seizures. And I'll say that this issue is actually much, much, much deeper. What is happening essentially is this. There appears to be some practitioners who rightly or wrongly, and I say this very advisedly, feel as if the laws have been applied in a, I would say, in a very not direct way, and they seem not to be happy. My view is that taking the laws into your own hands is not the way forward. However, what I also would insist is that it's something all Ghanaians need to do together. The actions and activities of the Food and Drugs Board should be transparent and should be equitable. It should be across board. The moment people see the Food and Drugs Board as being used as an instrument of torture, especially political torture, it becomes wrong. And I'm saying this knowing that things like that are happening. And these are not acceptable. So one, all labor products should be registered by the Food and Drugs Board before they are used. But the Food and Drugs Board should not be used as an instrument of political torture. That is not acceptable.
Dr. Alex Dudu.
We all support the board, and we want the board to do a good job.
Okay.
We want all products to be duly registered. Nobody should buy a product which is not registered. However, the process of registration and licensing should be fair and should be transparent.
Dr. Alex Dudu, we want to thank you very much for your share in this one. That's the president of the Pharmaceutical Society of Ghana. And just before we go, some of your quick tests on Behind the News, if you are getting us at Tamale on Radio Savannah and Volta Star Radio at home. Raman Samari is saying Ghanaians are really suffering for gas and we are appealing to the authority to do something for us. That's when it's like Kenya Bokrun Kumasi. The minority should give us a break. Did they listen to the minority then when they were selling GT to Vodafone? Hypocrisy at its best. When Wawest, NDC and MPP both move back and forth, they are two sides of the same coin. Neither is better as circumstances never improved under positive change, nor better Ghana. CPP must step in now. The result of any shortage in LPG is definitely black marketing. The government should try to intervene before it is out of touch. Eric Atakoku. And in fact, BTN could not have come at the right time. Keep it up, GBC. Please kindly invite the UG authorities to explain to Ghanaians the reasons for the astronomical increase in the school fees by more than 30%, as against the 10% increment communicated to students earlier. Please, GBC, help us to reach the right authorities for our aid, to our aid. God bless your crew. Enoch Dawini, University of Ghana, sent in that one. And Sham is saying, the economy is broke. Why this profligate spending? And Nalibe Nelson, thank God NDC government has seen the need to buy aircraft to protect our oil. And monies for the purchase of aircraft should be channeled into education, the backbone of a developing country like ours. Lawrence Dambai College of Education. And that is where we wrap it all up for today. On behalf of Christopher Steed, Edmond Tete, Bright Agama, and our sound man together with Jonathan Thompson, my name is Kingsley Obin-Tre.